From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here's the news for the headlines. India seeks to learn from Indonesia's success in holding G20. Investment Ministry supports development of green factory concept. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Indonesian Manpower Ministry stated that India is keen to learn from Indonesia's success in organizing the G20 Employment Working Group EWG and Labor and Employment Ministers Meeting, LEMM. They want to learn not just how to lead a session, but also manage the activity in a way that leaves an impression. This was affirmed by Ministry Secretary General Anwar Sanusi through a statement on Thursday. While conducting a bilateral meeting with Indian Labor and Employment Ministry's Labor Secretary, Arti Ahuja, in Geneva, he echoed Indonesia's readiness to support and make India's G20 presidency in 2023 a success, especially since Indonesia is serving as co-chair along with India and Brazil. Indonesia supports the priority issues raised by India, specifically those related to the efforts to close the skills gap, social protections, empowerment of gig workers, and sustainable social insurance financing. The Ministry of Investment, Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, supports the development of green factories in a bid to reduce carbon emissions. The support was voiced by Deputy for Investment Promotion of BKPM, Nurul Ikhwan, in response to the construction of a new factory for a paint manufacturer in Cikandai area, Serang District, Banten, which applies the green factory concept, thereby reducing carbon emissions by up to 7%. He hoped that this innovation could serve as an example for other companies in their efforts to achieve zero carbon emissions in Indonesia by 2060. He noted in a written statement in Jakarta on Thursday. Earlier, Director of Paint Producer PT Moilex Indonesia Novina Cahyadi stated that the factory building with a green concept is equipped with the latest productions machine technology, water treatment without waste, and testing in an outdoor laboratory to produce and test high-quality paints. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry reiterated its commitment to improving water quality by controlling the pollution load from waste entering rivers in Indonesia. Director General of Pollutions and Environmental Damage Control of the Ministry, Sigit Reliantoro, stated that his side continues to develop collaboration with all stakeholders to jointly improve water quality through various concrete actions and programs. The activities carried out are the constructions of facilities and infrastructure, Reliantoro noted in a statement in Jakarta on Thursday. The ministry also encouraged local governments to improve water quality. Through the Regional Performances Response Index, IRKD, as an assessment of local government performance in improving water quality. Let's move on to the international news, where a United States contractor was killed and five U.S. service members and one other U.S. contractor were wounded when a drone struck a facility on a coalition base in northeast Syria on Thursday, the Pentagon said. In a statement released late on Thursday, the Defense Department said the intelligence community had determined that the unmanned aerial vehicle was of Iranian origin. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said that U.S. Central Command forces retaliated with precision airstrikes against facilities in eastern Syria used by groups affiliated with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC. Protesters clashed with French security forces on Thursday in the most serious violence yet of a three-month revolt against President Emmanuel Macron's hugely controversial pension reform. Dozens of police were injured and dozens of protesters arrested nationwide, the government said, as the day of protest descended into violence in several cities, including Paris, where protesters lit fires in the historic center of the city. The uproar over the impositions of the reform, which the government chose to push through without a parliamentary vote, has turned into the biggest domestic crisis of Macron's second term in office. New Zealand Foreign Minister Nanea Mahuta said that she will discuss concerns about key regional and global security challenges when she meets with her Chinese counterpart, Foreign Minister Xin Kang, in Beijing on Friday. Mahuta arrived in China on Wednesday for a four-day trip, the first by a New Zealand minister since 2019, and has been meeting with business and women leaders before her meeting with Xin. In a statement earlier in the week, Mahuta said that she would use the meeting to advocate for approaches and outcomes that reflect New Zealand's interests and values, including on human rights. A controversial gold mine in Thailand restarted operations on Thursday, more than 6 years after the government forced it to close over health and environmental concern. The Chatree complex, which straddles three rural provinces in the kingdom's north, had been dogged by legal disputes and protests by villagers who said it poisoned crops and livestock. The Thai government, at that point a military junta, ordered the open-cut mine to halt operation in May 2016 in a rare win for environmental campaigners. The mine's Australian owner, Kingsgate Consolidated, launched arbitration proceedings seeking hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation. But after negotiations, the government agreed last year to allow the reopening. Listener, now let's move on to Diplomatic Corner. On President of Maldives, Ibrahim Mohamed Soli welcomes the presence of the Indonesian shipbuilding industry. President of Maldives, Ibrahim Mohamed Soli, conveyed that his side welcomed the presence of the Indonesian shipbuilding industry in Maldives. It was said by President Ibrahim Mohamed Soli in a statement from the Indonesian Embassy in Colombo on Tuesday during a visit to the Indonesian booth at the Maldives Marine Expo 2023 in Hulhumali, Maldives on March 15 to 18. On this occasion, Indonesian Ambassador to Sri Lanka and the Maldives, Dewi Gustina Tobing, conveyed the potentials for shipbuilding industry cooperation and its supporting industries between Indonesia and the Maldives, which intensively has been carried out by the Indonesian Embassy in Colombo in recent years. Ambassador Dewi also promoted Indonesia's ability to produce a number of warships, including the KRI RE Marta Dinata, KRI I Gusti Ngurah Rai, KRI Golok, including KRI Alugoro, as a submarine made in Indonesia. Apart from welcoming the presence and participation of the Indonesian Embassy in Colombo at the exhibition, President Mohamed Soli also hopes that cooperation of countries can continue to increase in various fields. The 8th Maldives Maritime Exhibition is one of the largest annual exhibitions in the Maldives and attracts visitors not only from participating business people in the Maldives, but also from India, Sri Lanka, United Arab Emirates, UK, Japan, South Korea, and other countries. As many as 100 companies join the 170 available booths, including the Indonesian Embassy in Colombo, which displayed the Indonesian shipbuilding industries and its supporting component industries. According to the Indonesian Embassy in Colombo, Maldives is one of the countries with quite promising potentials for shipbuilding industry cooperation. The Indonesian Embassy in Colombo said, although Indonesia's presence at the exhibition was the first time, the visitors responded positively to the influx of various demand for Indonesian products. The requests for information came not only from Maldivian business people, but also from British, Indian, and Sri Lankan business people. Several companies are also interested in further exploring the opening of their representative offices in Indonesia before entering into further investment cooperation with Indonesian companies. Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's commentary is on Israel revokes 2005 disengagement law. Israel issued a controversial policy just days before the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. The Israeli parliament, or Knesset, revoked the 2005 disengagement law regarding Israeli settlements in the West Bank. The disengagement law of 2005 ordered the demolition of 4 Jewish settlements in the occupied West Bank when Israel withdrew its troops from the Gaza Strip, namely Sanur, Ganim, Kadim, and Homesh. In 2005, the Israeli government issued a surprising decision ordering the demolition of Jewish settlements in the West Bank along with the withdrawal of Israeli troops from Gaza. Israel's Prime Minister at that time, Ariel Sharon, argued that Israel would not be able to maintain the settlements under any future deal with the Palestinians. According to Sharon, the demolition of the 4 settlements will help provide Palestinian territorial proximity in the West Bank and make it easier for Palestinians to live a normal life. Since the law was implemented, Israeli citizens have been barred from re-entering these areas without military permission. However, last Monday, March the 20th, the Israeli parliament revoked part of the disengagement law in a vote. Of the 120 members of the Knesset, 31 of them supported the repeal of the 2005 law, while 18 others voted against and the remaining members voted to abstain. repealing the law would pave the way for the return of Jewish settlers to areas of the West Bank that were previously illegal to become legal. This will certainly deepen the conflict between settlers and Palestinians and increase the risk of escalating violence on both sides. Israel's action received criticism from various parties, even from its closest ally, the United States. The U.S. government, through a spokesperson for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Vedant Patel, said the repeal of the disengagement law by the Knesset violated Israel's commitment to the U.S. regarding the expansion of settlements in the West Bank. According to him, the legislative changes announced by Israel were very provocative and counterproductive to efforts to restore calm when entering Ramadan for Muslims and Easter for Christians who are residents of the West Bank. Hopefully, the U.S. closeness with Israel will be able to influence the decisions that have been taken so that Muslims who are fasting for Ramadan and Christians who will celebrate Easter can worship solemnly, safely, and comfortably. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history begins with March the 24th, 1976, the Dirty War in Argentina. Argentina was marked by the so-called Dirty War in the period 1976 to 1983. On March the 24th, 1976, Argentine President Isabel Perón was kidnapped and ousted in a bloodless coup. Dirty War is a term that is attached because the state runs a terrorism program to deal with left-wing subversion, which is considered dangerous to the government. Dirty wars are deliberately developed to justify authoritarian regimes butchering dissidents. The massacre was carried out by the military government of Jorge Rafael Videla. Turning to March 24, 1989, tanker Exxon Valdez crashes into a reef, causing an environmental disaster. On March 24, 1989, the Exxon Valdez tanker hit Bly Reef in the Prince William Sound region of Alaska, which spilled over 11 million gallons of oil into the Gulf of Alaska, United States. It was one of the greatest disasters at sea ever. The tanker was loaded with approximately 54 million gallons of oil, of which 10.8 million gallons were released into the waters of Prince William Sound when its hull was torn in the accident. Today in history ends with World Tuberculosis Day. Every year, the international community commemorates World Tuberculosis or TB Day on March the 24th. This is to raise public awareness about the devastating health, social, and economic consequences of tuberculosis or TB and to increase efforts to end the global TB epidemic. The date marks the day in 1882 when a Dr. Robert Koch announced that he had discovered the bacterium that causes TB, which opened the way to diagnosis and cure of this disease. The global theme for this year's World Tuberculosis Day is Yes, We Can End TB, while the theme chosen by Indonesia is a theme related to multi-stakeholder cooperation to prevent and achieve TB elimination, namely, Let's End TB Together, Indonesia Can. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Pertama kali berjumpa
Of Indonesia.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Deputy Minister of Finance Wahasil Nazara said that natural resources downstreaming activities are a new source of Indonesia's economic growth. Quoted by Antara News Agency at the OCBC NASP Business Forum in Jakarta, Deputy Minister Wahasil said that the government had banned the export of natural resources to carry out downstreaming domestically while processing them further. He remarked that the government is building domestic industry so that economic growth is stronger. He believed that the downstreaming will create added value for the economy through processed products export with higher values and more employment. He also pointed out that while the downstream is in progress, the government continues to use local products. This is also a new source of economic growth for Indonesia in the future. The government also continues to encourage the needs of ministries and institutions that use the state budget to be fulfilled by domestic products, especially those produced by micro, small, and medium enterprises. Furthermore, the transition to a green economy will also become a new source of economic growth for Indonesia. He added that Indonesia's energy needs with a growing population and economy will drive more energy demand. Thus, green energy becomes a new source of economic growth for the country. He also asked business players and the financial services sector to maintain economic stability and growth amid global economic uncertainty. With various economic indicators that are still positive, Deputy Minister Wahasil estimates that Indonesia's economic growth will be around 5.0 to 5.3% in 2023.
When the sun goes up, the day has begun. Brighter sky greets hello. There's no reason to feel low. Together we stand.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder with title Petah Cake. The people of South Kalimantan have a special menu to break fasting, namely Petah Cake. It is well known as Petah Cake. This cake is green in color and it is usually served as a menu to break the fasting and also as dish during Eid al-Fitr. Petah cake is made from rice flour, pandan juice and suji leaves, lime betel and salt. All of these ingredients are mixed and simmer the chili stir until thick. Afterwards, the mixture is poured into a baking sheet that has been smeared with oil and steamed until it is well done. Once cooked, the petah cake is cut into thin pieces. Listener, usually petah cake is served with a splash of tahi lala. Tahi lala is coconut milk which is boiled by mixing it with salt and pepper until it reaches a thick texture. When served, petah is doused with tahi lala sauce, then sprinkled with pepper powder and fried onions. This food is eaten with a cup of warm tea. When eaten, this typical South Kalimantan cake is so chewy and tasty. Listener, besides petah, tahi lala is usually combined with jaring. Jaring is the name of the people of South Kalimantan for jengkol. Jengkol fruit is boiled and then served with tahi lala. During the fasting month, petah cake can be purchased almost every day at the Wadai Market or markets that sell traditional snacks and cakes in Banjarmasin and in Martapura. If you buy this cake to bring it home, usually the petah cake is separated from the tahi lala. Thus, it doesn't get stale quickly. The price is relatively affordable, from 15,000 rupiah until 20,000 rupiah per portion. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Suka dan duka.
Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Miscellany for today has a topic, Bayu Caraka ITS, ready to keep the title in international match. Listeners, the ITS Bayu Caraka flying robot team is ready to take part in the 2023 Singapore Amazing Flying Machine Competition in Singapore. They have three drones named Soro Alpha, Soro Beta, and Soro Iron, as well as four new remotes. The three autonomous-based robots will be brought to fight in two of the eight categories, namely semi-autonomous or D1 and autonomous or D2 in Singapore from March 25th to April 1st, 2023. Two of the three robots being carried this time are swept drone types. Two of them are interconnected and work together to complete the mission of moving the ball at a predetermined target. This type of drone uses autonomous technology that does not involve human touch to move it. Meanwhile, other drones are designed to lift pin bags and paper clips with more difficulty than
previous year. One of the team members, Torik, explained that in this competition, Bayucharaka ITS brought the latest innovations in terms of technology that were different from before. The use of the remote type with a motion sensor to detect and hand movements, which will later be transformed to run the drones. In addition, there is also a type of remote that can detect hand movements through the camera and then translate them to move the drone. Member of the mechanical division, Epidonta Ginting, explained the difficulties the team faced in developing this robot were found in the fully autonomous type. That's Miss Seleni.
Saat aku mencari cinta.
for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present you a regional song from Central Java entitled Kopi Mase. The song Kopi Mase, which is popular in social media, narrates somebody who has a sense of prestige so that she forces herself to follow the existing trend by borrowing money from other people. Finally, she was dizzy of thinking about how to pay off the debt. However, all these complicated things could be thought of over a cup of coffee. Here is Happy Asmara with the original song from Central Java entitled Ngopi Mase.
Umat mikir tagihan, ngopi-ngopi mase. Umat mikir cicilan, ngopi-ngopi mase.
Ngopi mase.
Yo.
Kape amargo gengsi, kaya tuku iPhone. Telu ditiror pinjam, santuy ae mase. Umat mikir cicilan, ngopi-ngopi mase.
Ngopi mase, yo.
Sirah mumet pikiran dua, boleh upetan soyom dua. Ake siti ya dicukuri, sing penting kewajibane. Ora keri, sirah mumet pikiran dua, boleh upetan soyom. Dicukuri, sing penting kewajibane. Ora keri
asik.
Umat mikir cicilan, umat mikir tagihan, ngopi-ngopi mase. Umat mikir cicilan, ngopi-ngopi mase.
Ngopi mase.
Of Indonesia.
Oh,
pikiran hayalan, imaji seluas angkasa, berderet berbaris menyatu, coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa kulakukan perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara Indonesia ku tercinta. Menjadi mata air yang terus mengalir, selalu memberi karya terbaik bagi bangsa. Menjadi mata air, ciptakan kedamaian, menjawab tantangan arah tujuan masa depan Indonesia. Kuputar pikiran hayalan, imaji seluas angkasa, berderet berbaris menyatu, coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa,
apa yang bisa
lakukan perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara Indonesia ku tercinta. Menjadi mata
of Indonesia.
Aku salah menyangka
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.